This is WABF. And it's time now for a Foodie Friday and Food for a Thought. The talk show is brought to you by Fairhope Living Magazine. Foodie Friday is the first Friday of each month. So today and the ensuing Fridays are Food for Thought. And here is your hostess, Miss Elodia Arnold.
Good morning, Lori. So good to see you on this cloudy day, right before the big kickoff for the Mardi Gras weekend here in Fairhope. Yes. We're all excited about that.
It's going to be great.
Yep. So I am actually here today with our resident historian for Fairhope Living Magazine, Alan Samory. Alan, how are you this morning?
Doing well. Getting ready for Mardi Gras myself. Got my sister in town, so we're going to... She's partied before, but
Ooh.
Looking forward to it again.
Oh, welcome. Excellent.
Welcome, Alan. Good to be here.
Well, yeah. I tell you what, I had the pleasure of attending a talk given by three of our different local writers in Fairhope yesterday at the library. That was really interesting. Alan, you were there, as well as Greta Thais Bates, mm-hmm. talking about her book.
And yeah, she's written a memoir, right?
Yeah, it was pretty neat. So I haven't read it yet. I didn't have to pick hers up.
I have not either. And my friend Wayne Miller was there as well. He's a children's book author, so he writes about pirates and about knights. But he writes about pirates and knights who are reluctant. So that's the subtitle of his,
yeah,
of his books.
And he has a new book that came out called The Rainbow Pirate.
Yes, that's right.
And that was illustrated by a local student that attends Coastal. And man, those illustrations were just amazing.
Yeah, she is a talent. She's actually trying to go to Disney and she's doing an internship at Disney. So she's hoping that leads to something huge. And I hope it does too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, a little bit of what we wanted to talk about today was just kind of the different neighborhoods in Fairhope and how they came to be. That is what we're covering this year. Instead of doing just one particular home each month, we're actually talking about the history of all of the various different neighborhoods in the area. And Alan, when I approached you with that topic, kind of what were your thoughts about that?
Well, I thought it was pretty cool because I don't think, at least so far, we've done Bayview, and I don't think folks know a lot about maybe what that means, what these neighborhoods mean. So I'm interested in introducing a lot of these areas to the community. Some folks, of course, know them, but some folks also maybe don't know the history behind them. So I'm the history nerd, and so I like to kind of explore those, how those things came to be. And so that's what we started with Bayview or Bayfront and with Houstonville,
yeah,
in the February issue. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've learned a lot of it's a lot. I also learned that before it was Houstonville, it was Tatumville.
Right. Yes. Named after the gully, and not to be, you know, this is the, all of our gullies seem to have nicknames. So that's actually Big Head Gully is what it's referred to, and that's a whole other history that I'm going to be working on soon. So
Ooh.
Look for the gullies story. That will be sometime this year. I'm not sure when. So,
oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the Bayfront or Bayview. That's the North Bluff area, right?
That's right. Yep, North Bluff. And I really kind of include, it's all of Magnolia as well. Well, of course, the western side of Magnolia where all the residences are. And that, of course, Magnolia was really the first neighborhood, and then it went north from there. And so we have all these wonderful homes of the founders right on Magnolia that are still there that I've talked about in the January issue, in the January article. And of course, there's lots of historic homes in the Bayview area too, on Kiefer and in that neighborhood as well. That's the first neighborhood, so that's kind of where we wanted to start. And then, but since it's, Black History Month, we wanted to introduce folks to Houstonville.
Absolutely.
And I think I've had some really good compliments on that already, and because a lot of people didn't know it was Houstonville, and B, didn't know about anything about Mike Houston and his history, so, or Tatumville or the cemetery or any of those things. So I'm real pleased that people are reading and learning. That's our goal.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was really interested to, we have meetings to talk about the publication and the different articles that we're covering. And one of the things that I recall distinctly is that in your research, you found out that really the Twin Beach area and Houstonville, they were actually the same thing. We kind of had thought, well, let's cover Houstonville, not realizing that it was really the same thing as the Twin Beach area.
Yeah, it's all kind of incorporated in that, not incorporated, I shouldn't use that word. It's all just sort of surrounding, you know, the gully is really what those areas were referred to. And then there was a part called Wilson's Neck, who was named after a particular family in that area as well. So lots of history there, and just real proud to bring that mm-hmm. to folks. And yeah, some people refer to it as South Fairhope now, but I think those are the new folks, and that's okay. But we want to make sure that it's still Tatumville or Houstonville historically.
Well, and that's also where the Anna T. Jean School is located. And for those that don't know about the Anna T. Jean School, since this is Black History Month, will you go ahead and fill us in on that?
Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about it. It was Anna T. Jean's was a Quaker philanthropist who was very wealthy from Pennsylvania. And she, when she passed, she endowed all this money for schools for Black people. Mm-hmm. And this was in the around the turn of the last century, in the early 1900s. And so what's unusual about the Anna T. Jean School is that most of the schools that were built using her funds were not named after her. The school in Twin Beach in Houstonville is unique because it's called the Anna T. Jean School. And so that's a real treasure. And there's a marker there where the, on the corner of Twin Beach Road and South Section that y'all need to read and appreciate, because it's a historic section there. And
is the original building still in existence? I know they expanded upon the school, and it remained as a school for the Black community up until segregation, I believe.
Correct. Yeah, they integrated in the early 70s, and I think everybody went to the middle school. I'm not sure about the details of where folks were. That school did close then, though, and but I guess there is an original building in there,
mm-hmm.
but the first one they built was on the other side of the street, so it was on the northeast corner of Twin Beach and South Section, and then the second one, which is the one that where the sign is on the other opposite corner. So
interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, what can we look for in the future with some of these neighborhoods?
So we're going to, and this is not in any random order, and. But you're going to see Fruit and Nut. So there's this whole, whole section of Fairhope that's just South Fairhope, you know, just south of kind of the downtown area that was started by a non-single taxer. So Mr. Nichols, Mr. Captain Nichols, don't know if he was a real captain or not. You know, sometimes you just got these monikers hoisted upon you. But he was he subdivided this area called Magnolia Beach, and that becomes in his when they were naming the streets, those streets became named for fruits and nuts, and so that's the little glimpse of what will be, I think, in the March issue.
That's right. Okay. So you mean it wasn't named after the fruits and nuts that lived there?
And that came later. And I'm not sure when, because, you know, they, of course, whenever there's, you know, my source, of course, as everyone knows, is a great source, is the Fairhope Couriers. And there's really, you know, nobody's going to admit that they're a fruit and a nut living in a fruit and nut. And
I don't know. I probably would.
Yeah. We had, we did have this, a part of the story that, you know, there was just some interesting things happening in Fruit and Nut, and I think it's, well, the Fruit and Nut folks can speak for themselves, but I think it's a little less fruitier and nuttier than it was.
Yeah, that is definitely that's true. Yeah. It has changed quite a bit, and that has been a bone of contention in the community. You know, I will say that, quite frankly, it's been a challenge to see these homes that were there for a very long time be torn down and then replaced by a much larger home. I have a very close family member that passed away from breast cancer back in November, and her home is ready to be demolished. So I'm actually actively saving little bits and pieces of it. There's a beautiful wrought iron the wrought iron, what do you want to call it, the post that holds up the porch. I'm saving the wrought iron pieces, and I'm going to put those in my garden, and that'll be where I'll plant some rose bushes, and they can climb up the wrought iron, so I'll have a memory of Julie.
That was
Julie Goddard.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, that's really, and again, you're right, there's lots of demolition and new construction. I think that's part of just, you know,
growth
everywhere. Yeah. But there's still a lot. I always tell people there's still, and that's kind of why I write my articles, is that even though there's a lot of growth, there's still a lot of old Fairhope here. And so I want folks to be able to appreciate the Fairhope, that's the old Fairhope that's still here. And that's why I want to bring it to their attention. And yes, we're going to have these houses that come down. I had the Flormé Goddard Simmons house that came down on Mershon. That was a heartbreaker for me, but I also know that it was vacant since, you know, for a really long time, decades and decades. So I understand that some houses can't be saved, and so if you can save parts of those homes and as you're demolishing them, definitely please do that. And I've got several windows that came out of a house that was demolished, a Clay City house. I don't have the Clay City, but anyway, those little pieces, like you had said, you know, they weren't a personal memory, but just something to save and use as decor in your own house. So it's all about repurposing now anyway, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I can always come up with something I can use and create from some of these old pieces of these houses. And then you have a memory to look back on.
Exactly. Well, and so some other things we're going to do, let's see, I've got, of course, fruits and nuts. We're going to do Ingleside and Coleman, and that's that sort of area where the bend is, and I will be telling you about why the bend is there.
Ooh,
some folks may or may not know. I know some nerds like me, historians, definitely know, but it's an interesting single tax city drama. Dun, dun, dun. That folks, you know, just unusual.
Always the drama.
Right. And we're going to also do Volanta, which I was talking to somebody yesterday who, and this is also going to be a future history piece, not a neighborhood piece, but we're going to do something about railroads, because railroads are super cool. And the People's Railroad, which is the one that the single taxer started, is very cool. But there was a second one, and that's the one that was in Volanta, you know, which is part of the Volanta neighborhood. And so we're going to do something about the Volanta neighborhood at some point and tell you about not just that community, but also about the railroad that started there. And
now, what was the name of the railroad?
So I've seen it in different names, but it was the Mobile Volanta Pensacola Railroad, because they had grand plans to take, you know, freight from Volanta all the way across to Pensacola Bay and then bridge trestle it over to Pensacola.
Wow.
So yeah, without giving away too much, there's lots of discrepancies about how much of the railroad they actually even built, which I find fascinating, because you know, our founder EB is, you know, he's on his game with the Fairhope Courier. So I had to go outside of the Courier to find out really how much of this railroad was built.
Well, I have a surprise for you. I have something from 1917 that I will show to you.
Oh, cool. Yes. So, all right, you heard that, listeners. I'm going to be needing to see, it must be a map.
It is.
Oh, yes. I'm
going
to be needing to see that map.
It's the 1917 map of Volanta.
Oh, sweet. All right, good. So I'm excited about that already, as you can tell. Lodi and I have a passion we're map heads as well. We're cartographers from a previous generation.
Yes.
Literally.
It helps that I have about 70,000 maps sitting in in a storage shed just waiting for me to come and look at them. That's very helpful.
Yes. So we're also going to talk about the Founders, a neighborhood of the golf course community, which is it's east of school and west of Ingleside. And it's named, when it was subdivided, I think in the 50s, there was a golf course there, and the clubhouse is still there, as folks know, on Johnson, 651 Johnson. The clubhouse is still there, but there was a 9-hole golf course that the single taxers built. Why? Well, to have fun, to get all these people over here to visit Fairhope and back in the 20s and leave their money here and have a good time.
Yeah, the single taxers were entrepreneurs. I don't, you know, why people think that they were...
Yeah.
Socialists. They were actually entrepreneurs.
Well, and if there was a time, I think, where you could have actually taken the People's Railroad, gone up and stayed at, like, the Gables Hotel, and then you could have taken the railroad all the way to where the organic school is, and then you could get off and walk about a half a block and go play a round of golf.
Wow.
So
even in today's time, that sounds like an amazing afternoon and a great trip.
I mean, right? It's, I mean, people are like, you know, this was, you know, 100 years ago this was happening. Almost really literally 100 years ago, because the railroad didn't last very long.
Yeah.
Sad story, spoiler alert. You, as you know, we don't have a railroad here now. So what else do we have? Oh, gosh. Let's see. Oh, okay. So I'm looking forward to this one. Well, in addition to the golf community, I think we might have to talk about the other golf communities, Quail Creek and Rock Creek.
Oh, yes.
And maybe Lakewood,
yes,
of course. But the one I'm most interested in is tourist and trailer parks.
Okay? Tourist?
Tourist parks. Yes. Yeah, so again, we're back to this idea of what people came here to, you know, spend part of the year, spend a portion of the year, or spend the whole year. But the tourist park was at Nichols. So there was one there, and they were cottages.
Okay.
And then there were trailer parks. There was a trailer park on, where City Hall is today.
Okay.
That was the first tent camp. So if you were having a house built in, say, 1900 or 1910, you stayed there. That was just basically sort of Tent City is how they referred to that area way back in the day.
Interesting.
And then it stayed that way until they built the plaza where the Del Champs and, you know, all those, when they built the grocery store and all the other things that were on that were there prior to City Hall.
Right, because if you don't know, if you're relatively new to Fairhope, before it was City Hall, it was actually Del Champs, and then there was a women's clothing store there.
Right, Colony Shop, right.
Which ended up being the mayor's office.
Exactly, yeah. See, Elodia reads my articles.
Very interesting, as we all should.
So, and then there's, of course, close to where I live is Winter Haven, you know, so there's that park, and that was built in the 60s. And
oh, really? So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you going to let us know and investigate whether or not there really was a nudist colony? Because I have heard that that is the area that it was located.
All right. There's a couple of places that there's this alleged nudist colony. And I don't want to be the spoiler on this. I'm doing my best. I'm trying to find something, you know, because really people don't want to really promote their nudist colonies. They're a little community within a community, right? So it's more word of mouth, right?
Okay.
You know? It's not like a secret society, so it's not like Mardi Gras, you know, but it is, you know, they want a place for themselves where they can be who they are, of course, right?
Of course, yes. Now, and that's, you know, even though we come into this world that way, it's really not the acceptable way to go around.
Exactly.
Every day.
And, you know, there's an argument that says maybe we should, but that's for another day. That's for another food for thought. Let's make all of Fairhope nude.
No, I don't think that I really want to do that.
So you brought this subject up. I'm just telling you what I know historically. So where was I going? Oh, so yes, you had mentioned along Mershon. Well, there's some pretty strong evidence, I'd say, that there was a nudist colony. I don't know how big it was, but it was off of Morphy.
Okay.
Yeah, off of Morphy, in the old Totten House.
Okay.
And so if folks know where the Totten House is, I'll give you more information about that at another time.
Gosh, Alan, you aren't telling us much.
I know, I'm like a tease.
Yes.
Only because, you know, hey, I'm a writer. I want people to read. And this is a good way to get them to, you know, and I know they are reading, so thank you all for reading, of course, because people will come up and tell me, they'll come up and tell me things that they learned in the magazine as if I didn't write it. So I'm like, well, you saw my byline, right?
Proving to you they read it.
Right. You read it, but you didn't know who wrote it. But thank you. I will take that compliment all day and all night.
So back to the Nichols area. So I have a... When you get to this part where you're covering, I mean, how did Nichols Street get its name? If Dr. Nichols or Captain Nichols, if he developed Magnolia Beach area and fruit and nut section, I mean, why doesn't Nichols go all the way through? It ends right there at Church Street.
Well, initially Nichols was like, it was like an island. So before Mr. Nichols bought all of his property, he really just had a stretch along Nichols. So if you kind of picture, where Nichols and Pier is, he kind of owned that column leading up from the bay.
Okay.
And so he held on to that property, and then he sold off what became Magnolia Beach and Pier Street and all that area south all the way to the Legion.
Okay.
So yeah, initially it was in the family for a long time, and it may still be in the family. I'm not sure. So yeah, that's how Nichols got its name, and it is a little bit gerrymandered in that sense, but part of that is also, as we all know, because of single tax. Mm-hmm. His was all deeded property, and then once the neighborhood didn't really take off, single tax started going, hey, there's property for sale here that we might want to acquire, and so they did. So the eastern part of what was originally Magnolia Beach and Fruit and Nut is also, some of it is colony land. So some of it's leased and some of it in that neighborhood is deeded. And that's just the nature of markets, I guess. So
yeah. Absolutely. That's interesting. Well, yeah. All right. So I have totally, we were almost running out of time here.
So
fill us in on a few more of your...
So a few more, let's see. You talked about, I've forgotten the name of it. I don't know if I've written it down. The last one.
Hedge Villa.
Oh, Hedge Villa. Okay, if anybody's heard of Hedge Villa, if anybody knows of any of these neighborhoods or has lived them in or has family from them, we want to hear from you. So that's...
We do. Or if you live in a neighborhood that we haven't listed...
Right.
...that you do have a name for, we want to hear from you as well. And Alan, can they email you directly?
Yeah, go ahead and email me directly. It's my name, alansamry@gmail.com.
alansamry@gmail.com.
Yeah. And so there's other neighborhoods too. There's places like Euclid, which is...
Is Euclid?
Yeah, Euclid, I don't even know much about. So if you've got information on Euclid, I'd love to hear about it. There was a school out there, and it was its own little community back in the day. And I'm told it's near the high school, but that's really about all the information I've gotten. But Hedge Villa, just so folks know, Hedge Villa is on the north side of Fairhope Ave along Ingleside. And on both sides. There's no, I mean, I haven't seen a map of that one. Probably Elodia has one in her collection.
I'm sure there is.
But anyway, that'll be a neighborhood we feature as well. We've talked about perhaps Montrose and Point Clear and River Park and Clay City. So these are all areas sort of not in the city proper or downtown, but sort of surrounding. And those all have some great histories too, of course.
And then you're going to do Montrose.
I'm going to do Montrose. And there's another little one that we may connect to Volanta called Airy Heights.
Oh.
So Airy Heights is one that I discovered kind of by accident. So, and that's just north of Bayou Charbonne / Big Mouth Gully.
Okay.
That folks know where those landmarks are. And if not, then there's a great map on the city website for folks who want some gully education. They produced a flyer a bunch of years back. It's really good, really helpful.
Very interesting. Well, yeah. Alan, thank you so much for coming on today and talking with us about the various different neighborhoods. What? We still have time?
Yes, you've still got 6 or 7 minutes left
if you'd like
to continue.
Oh, wow, okay. We were almost done.
Do we have that in any neighborhoods?
We do. what about the Barnwell area?
Yeah, there's a great little kind of like a downtown, if you will, for Barnwell, like a farm community, but I don't know too much about it. There was a community center there, and there was a store, you know, but it's all, obviously, there was all farmland around that. So that'd be something I'm interested in learning a lot about, too. There's all these just little... And if especially like Lodi said, if you've got a neighborhood or a community that's, they call them dead towns. I don't like that term. I prefer maybe lost towns or lost communities. And but we'd love to hear about them, because sometimes they even had a school, you know. And when the population grew, right, they just, you know, they would just combine their efforts and move to a larger school, that kind of thing. So
that's interesting. I bet they did have a school over out in Barnwell, and there is a push right now to revive the Barnwell Community Center, and they are doing a great job with that. That's led by Veronica Bishop and the family there at Oak Hollow Farm. So they're working diligently to revive the Barnwell Community Center.
Yeah. Right. A lot of bishops out there, obviously. So
yeah,
that's good. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm glad they're taking charge of their heritage and preserving it. That's really important.
Absolutely. So in one of our upcoming episodes of Food for Thought, I've invited Sarah Boganovich to attend. She is the lady that is responsible for forming the Founders District, which is where I live. And that's one of the areas that you're going to cover. It was originally the golf course area, but I'm going to invite Sarah to come on because she actually did the legal work to make the Founders District a real thing in Fairhope. Oh, you know what we haven't talked about?
What?
The Flower District. Did you know there was such a thing?
No.
A Flower District.
Yes, yes. So it is actually just on the east side of Section Street over there by Fairland and Azalea.
Oh.
And it's all of the streets in that little area are, Lori, you live right over there. They're all
near there. Uh-huh.
They're all named after flowers.
Yeah. Of course.
So,
well, we always hear about fruit and nut, but we don't think about
the
dogwood and all of the other streets over there.
Exactly. So that has been coined, and actually recently that was coined by one of our local realtors is the Flower District.
Oh, okay, cool. And I wonder if you have a map of that.
Oh, yes. So the map collection we're referring to is the original records of Fairhope Tile and Survey Company.
Right.
My dad, as many people know, is a land surveyor here. He purchased Fairhope Tile and Survey Company in 1947, from the original surveyors, Prescott Parker and Harold Graham, who incorporated their business in around 1905. Mm. And we have all of the original hand-drawn maps and field notes, and it is just an amazing collection. Not just of their work, but they also would collect surveys and works of other land surveyors like Ponder and
Boudiskay. They have some of their.
They do.
Who have Boudiskay maps as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And so we have, those have been preserved. My cousin Bobby King has taken wonderful good care of those over the last 19 years or so since Fairhope Tile and Survey Company closed. And we're in the process of getting those out of storage and made available to people that might want to see them. So it's quite amazing.
It's a very cool collection. And there's what's really even more fascinating is because these guys were who they were, when they were doing these surveys, you know, you meet with the people you're doing the surveys for. So he would have in their field notes, you'd see these little notes about, oh, so-and-so was here. And, you know, he'll give like a little anecdote about the person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it might just be a sentence, but it's like, you know, you know Claude was on the ground. Or even Mr. Parker, who he's the guy that surveyed Volanta. It's his plan. Parker and Graham were the ones that were doing early Fairhope. And Parker was a single taxer until he wasn't a single taxer. So, you know.
That's another story.
You know, yeah, exactly. He was a big supporter of single tax, and then he became kind of a kicker. You know, we refer to these folks who are single taxers and sort of like, well, didn't really agree with everything that they were doing, and so went their own way. And so that was Mr. Parker and Mr. Graham. I'm not sure about what his single tax thoughts were, but they worked together for, like you said, 30 years. They have it's a tremendous amount of information, really great stuff that they've put together that we've had, that Elodia has as the part of that collection.
So. I ran across a survey just yesterday, and what was so interesting is it was for a Dr. Wilson, and you saw Dr. Wilson's house and then his doctor office, and then right behind his doctor office was the chicken coop. And I believe that that was right on Fells Avenue. I could be very wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure it was right on Fells Avenue. But that was from right around the 1950s area.
Very fascinating. Also, in this issue of your Fairhope Living magazine, you have the history of Fairhope Mardi Gras, don't you?
Yes, we do. Absolutely. And how that got started. And we've actually been parading in Fairhope for how long now, Alan?
Yeah, since 1908, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So folks can, if they don't get a copy in their mailbox, they can read it online.
That's right. They can go to fairhopelivingmagazine.com and click on the current issue, and you can see this issue. You can also see the past issues there as well.
Yep, in the archives, right?
Thank you. Great show today. Yeah, thank
absolutely.
You.
All thank right. you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Lori, for having us on, and yes. we will talk with you next week.
All right. Food for Thought with Elodia Arnold, Fairhope Living Magazine, and her guest today, Alan Samry. If you missed part of the show or you want to tell a friend, you can listen to it later. We will post it on our website, wabf1480.com. Now resuming our regular programming.